bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a world darkened with sin. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an outreach ministry of the Progressive Primitive Baptists. Our purpose at the Lighthouse is to present you the truth of God's Word and its relevancy for your daily living. We want to help equip you to light your world with the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. Hello, my name is Scott Ryan, and I invite you to join us now as we study God's Word together. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today at the Lighthouse. I'm your host and radio Bible teacher, Scott Reiner. Our study today will come from various scriptures as we talk about the many different things that we are to be thankful for. But first, let's be encouraged by this special musical presentation, I Went Down to Pray, by the Lighthouse Quartet.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way.
Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray.
As I went
down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray.
As I went
down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down in the river to pray.
As I went
down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down, come on down, don't you want to go down? Come on, mothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray.
This morning, we're going to be looking at several different passages of Scripture that relate to thanksgiving or things that we as believers are to be thankful for. The first passage that I want to read is Psalm 100, which is a tremendous call to worship that focuses specifically on believers approaching God with a spirit of thanksgiving. By inspiration, the psalmist writes, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." As we approach this time of thanksgiving, I want us to pause for just a moment and ask ourselves, what is thanksgiving? And I'm not talking about the cultural phenomena of thanksgiving that surrounds us once a year. Rather, I'm specifically addressing the thanksgiving that is to be a consistent part of the believer's life. What does it mean to give thanks? Well, the idea of giving thanks is essentially the proper response that comes when we recognize that we are insufficient in and of ourselves, that we are imperfect. This simply means that we recognize that we are creatures of need, that there are things that we cannot provide for ourselves. And so we need help, we need assistance outside of ourselves to provide those things which are necessary for us. Now, not only is there this recognition of insufficiency, but there's also a genuine, heartfelt appreciation for the one who meets those needs of insufficiency. And this appreciation is demonstrated most when our lives begin to reflect that appreciation. In other words, it's not limited to just simply what comes out of our mouths, but how we live demonstrates that we are truly thankful. We truly appreciate what has been done. Now, in this, of course, we recognize that we are the ones that are imperfect and that everything that ultimately good comes into our life comes from God. You see, the flip side of this is that we not only have to see our imperfection, but we also have to recognize the absolute perfection of God. Have you ever noticed that in Scripture that nowhere does it mention that God is thankful? And the reason for that is because God is perfect. There is no defect within God. There is no lack of perfection with God. He is absolutely sufficient in and of himself. So God is not in need. There's nothing that we can do to add to God. We are just the opposite. Now, not only does this affect our relationship with God, but this basic approach affects our relationship with each other. There are things in life that we cannot do or provide for ourselves, but someone else may do this. Now, ultimately, of course, it comes from God, but God does and often work through people or circumstances to bring those things to pass in our lives. And so we're to be thankful to God, but also to the medium, that is, the people that God has chosen to meet our needs. And a part of that thankfulness also incorporates how we respond to other people. That is, we are to be genuinely appreciative. We're to be genuinely thankful for what people do for us. And then there are times when perhaps we can do things for ourselves, but someone may do it for us. But at that moment, we need to pause and be thankful that someone cares enough about us or loves us enough to do something just because they want to, just because they love us. One of the things that seems to be so glaringly absent in our contemporary society is just a genuine appreciation for others and for what they do for us. We live in what is often referred to as an entitlement society, that we think that people owe us, that they ought to be doing things for us like that, when in reality that's not the case. And so when someone does something for us, we need to be truly thankful. Now, I want to read several different passages of Scripture that relate to different parts of the Christian life, the Christian perspective, and for us to think about those things and how that should impact us when it comes to thanksgiving. I want to begin by noting something about the nature and the character of God. And I want to read from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 15. Therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. Here is a tremendous recognition of the nature and the character of God as it impacts these believers, as they offer these things to God in the recognition of not only how powerful and glorious God is, but ultimately that what they give to God is only what God has already given them. So for a few moments, I want you to think about the nature and the character of God and various facets of his being that you're thankful for. Perhaps it may be some of his attributes or his names or some of his activities that he has accomplished. But during this Thanksgiving season, the ultimate feature of our Thanksgiving should be for God himself, that we have the kind of God that God is and has revealed about himself in his word. Another facet that we need to focus on is the greatness and the graciousness of God when it comes to salvation. I'd like to read from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7 and 11 through 14. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." Salvation is one of those things that I think we also tend to take for granted. Our understanding of salvation tends to be very shallow, very limited. And yet, in the Word of God, salvation is a very broad, comprehensive subject. It encompasses so much that God has done for us. It's not just simply that when we die, we get to go to heaven. It speaks about the work and the purpose of God in salvation, what God has done as Father, as Son, and as Holy Spirit. It takes into account the great decrees of election and predestination. It takes into account what Jesus Christ has done in his death and in his resurrection. It relates to those blessings that are ours as a result of Christ's death, such as redemption, adoption, the forgiveness of sins, reconciliation. It also takes into account what the Holy Spirit does when he brings us into union with Jesus Christ for our salvation, as he indwells within us and his continued ministry. And we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. But the greatness of God in salvation is a phenomenal thing. It's not just some narrow biblical teaching, but it encompasses, quite literally, the Word of God. And so whenever we think about Thanksgiving, this is one of the central features that should mark our giving of thanks to God. That we are thankful that God has not only saved us, but that He has saved us in such a way that only He can receive the glory. Are you truly thankful that Jesus Christ has died upon the cross in order to redeem His people from the curse of their sins? That His blood paid the debt that we ourselves could not pay? That His death and His life means our death to sin and our life to righteousness? Then if it does, how can we not be thankful, and how can we not demonstrate that thankfulness daily? One of the reasons is because we are so consumed with the things of this life, and we don't spend the proper amount of time and the mindset thinking about what God has done for us. Another feature that should mark our giving of thanks has to do with the present gift and ministry of the Holy Spirit. At this time, I'd like to read from Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 19 and 20, and then from chapter 36, verses 26 and 27 and 29. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. I will give you a new heart, and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it, and bring no famine upon you. These passages speak of the coming ministry of the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit will do, He will take away the stony heart, that is a heart that is hardened and cold and dead toward the things of God. And He will give us a heart of flesh. That is, He will give us a heart that beats with a passion for God, to love Him like we should, to humbly obey His laws. You see, on our own, we can't live the Christian life on our own. We can't obey. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit within us. And so as believers, we should pray for the Spirit's power in our life, that He will open our eyes to see the truth of God's Word, that He will impress those truths to our heart, that He will convict us when we have sinned, that He will lead us in the right paths, and that He will enable us to obey by giving us strength and courage to do what is right and not to cower down because of fear of those around us. I mean, ultimately, I think that we can say that there is no Christian life without the Holy Spirit. Because whatever the Holy Spirit does, He does with the view of bringing glory to Jesus Christ. For Christ alone is worthy of the glory because of what He has done for us. So whenever we think about Thanksgiving, let us be thankful that God has not left us as orphans, but that He has given to us another comforter, that is, the Holy Spirit, to be with us, to direct us, to comfort us, and to empower us for faithful Christian living. Another facet that should mark our thanksgiving has to do with the gifts and the blessings of family. At this time, I'd like to read from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through chapter 6 and verse 4. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church,
not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord.
Another great feature of our Thanksgiving should be family, our husbands, our wives, our children, our parents, grandparents. Whatever parts of our family that impact us, that give us a godly example, we should be thankful for those individuals. The family unit is one of the greatest gifts that God has given, and it was His purpose from the very beginning when God created Adam and Eve, and He joined them together in a holy relationship that we call marriage, that they were to be for each other for all time. And in that relationship, children were to be born. Unfortunately, in our society today, that's considered to be outdated. So many children are born out of wedlock. They have no idea who their father is. They are not raised in homes where there is a godly influence. And as a result, our society is crumbling. You see, the family unit is the basic building block of society. If you have a strong, cohesive family unit, you will have a stronger, much more vibrant society. And Satan knows this, and this is one of the reasons why he has been attacking the family in such a relentless manner. That's why he has been trying to redefine marriage, to redefine sexuality, and a host of other things. And all you have to do is watch the news to see that he has been extremely successful. The morality of our society is collapsing all around us. So families are important. And it's important to love our loved ones, to love our wives and our husbands, to love our parents, to love our children. And so we should be thankful for those kinds of godly influences. And it may be that some of us don't have the best parents, or we don't have the best children, or we don't have the best husbands or wives. And if we don't, we need to try to be an influence on them and to pray for them and to look for some of the good or positive things that they might do. And if not, we still need to try to be as faithful as we possibly can to the standard that God has set. One last area that I want us to focus on has to do with the blessings of the goodness of God when it comes to temporal blessings. We know that God blesses us spiritually, but He also blesses us temporally. And here I'd like to read Psalm 23.
The psalmist writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
James teaches us that every good and perfect gift comes from God. And this references both temporal blessings as well as spiritual blessings. Sometimes we have a tendency to focus more upon the temporal blessings, the physical or tangible blessings of this life, while ignoring or playing down our spiritual blessings. It has been said that if we had Jesus Christ, and only Jesus Christ, if we lost everything else in this world, that we would still have all that we needed. Because when we die and stand before the Lord, what kind of house we had won't matter. What kind of car we drove won't matter. How much money we made won't matter. The only thing that will matter is Jesus Christ. And if He is our Lord and our Savior, if He has forgiven us of our sins. But the thing is that even though God has given us so much spiritually, He is also very gracious in giving us temporal blessings, giving us what we need. We may not have everything that we want, but God provides for our needs. And so as we think about this Thanksgiving season, let's be mindful not only of the spiritual blessings that God has given, but it is a good thing for us to give thanks for the temporal blessings that we have. And if we are a thankful people, truly thankful, we're going to be much happier, we're going to be less stressed out, and we're going to be much more Christ-like. So in closing, let me just say that I hope that you have a very Christ-centered Thanksgiving. Until next week, may the Lord bless you, is our prayers.
You have been listening to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an evangelistic ministry of the Primitive Baptist Churches of the Southeastern United States. We encourage you to attend one of these churches whenever possible. This radio ministry and its supporters are committed to the authority, the inerrancy, and the divine inspiration of God's holy word, to the Saviorhood of Jesus Christ, as well as to His Lordship, and that salvation is by God's grace alone. We hope this program has had a positive spiritual influence in your life. If it has, please write us and let us know. We encourage you to be with us next week at this same time. To find out more information about the Lighthouse, you can visit us at our website at www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. That's all one word and in all lowercase letters. Once again, that's www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. Please take a moment and visit us at our website. This program exists because evangelistically minded people like you contribute to it. If you would like to help us bring the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world, then write us at The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Once again, that's The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. We would love to hear from you. Until next week, this is Scott Reiner encouraging you to light your world.